Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren once again. I am your internet pastor, Paul Leatherman, the third. I don't want you to get me mixed up with my dad, who's out there preaching himself this morning on the internet. But we welcome you back in again through the video power of the internet and everything that's around us. We're able to continue to have church. May not be anybody in here, but we're able to continue to have church. We need to be in prayer. People are starting to reach out. They're letting me know about the things that are going on around. And so I have endeavored to do this before, and I will do it again. If you have a prayer request that you want heard, send it to me. Facebook Messenger, my email, on our website, however you want it done. But send it to me. We need to be in prayer for the Whittington family, as Kathy Whittington's brother has passed away from the COVID. We need to be in prayer for Tim Smith from this church, Jill Smith's husband, who had rotator cuff surgery. We need to be in prayer for all of those that are struggling. The Mongan family, Leroy Mongan, who is a member of our community, passed away this week. It's becoming a struggle, and it's becoming harder and harder to deal with and understand, especially when you cannot go to a funeral and pay your respects. So here's my encouragement to you this week. Pick up the phone. Don't wait. Pick up the phone, call, and ask, how are you? Touch base. Maintain that human connection, because that's truthfully what's going to get us through this, is the ability to talk to each other fully. God has put a plan forth, or has something going on, or is taking us through a journey we don't understand. And consequently, for today's sermon called Preparations Unknown. But I encourage you to pick up the phone, pick up a pen and write something on a piece of paper and send it out. Send a Christmas card out. Think about someone you haven't talked to for a minute and go to them. I thank you that you're allowing us to come into your homes. I thank you that you are giving us the power to do this. And with that, let us pray to ask God's blessing as we enter into His house today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to be here, Father. We thank you for giving us the words to speak. We thank you for giving us the ability. Father, as we come forward today, let us think about the families who have struggled and lost. Let us think about the families who are currently struggling, Father. Let us think about each other. And use this time as we perceive it to perhaps draw us closer together. To push us forward into more of what you would have, which is complete, utter, total reliance and faith on you. We thank you, Father, for these things that you have given us as we are drawn together and we seek you out through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today following the sermon known as Preparations Unknown comes from Matthew chapter 1, starting in the 18th verse, verse 18 through 25. And while you're taking a moment to look that up, I happened to hear a story this week about some youngsters that were spending some time at their grandparents' house. And of course, as it was time to go to bed at Grandma and Grandpa's house, they have to say their prayers. And they were staying in the room, and the little boy and the little girl, the brother and sister, was saying their prayers. And the brother was leaning back, and he was saying, "And I would like a baseball glove and a brand new wagon to pull around. And I'd also like a brand new holster for my cap gun." And his sister nudged him and said, "Hey, you don't have to pray that loud. God can hear you." And he leaned over to her and he said, "I know, but Grandma's hard of hearing." Let us join our hearts together as we come into the scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive this word. Language given to me by you to be used to further the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the things that you have taught us. We thank you, Father, for the things that you will teach us. And we thank you that our hearts are open and ready to receive it. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, let me state a few facts. I am a father. It's true. I have twin 17-year-old sons. I'm a father. And you know how I know? Because my name is, "Hey Dad," or "Dad, can I?" or "Dad, do you have?" You know, there are times I have told my family, "I'm going to change my name and not tell anyone what it is. That way I don't have to answer to anything." But seriously, I know I'm a father. It was 2002, and we knew that the birth of our children were coming. We had known for a few months prior, as is the custom. And my wife, whom I love so much, suddenly walks into the room with 2 months to go until the arrival and says, and I quote, "We need to start making preparations." And I'm not that smart. I don't know why anybody would think that I am. I looked at her and said, "Preparations for what?" And at that moment, my wife, whom I love, who is beautiful, whom I had a great wedding to, looked at me with this look. Fellas, you know this look. You ready? That is the look that women have. They give to their husbands when they think in their head, "I married that person. I actually married that person." And that's the look I got. And she said, "For the birth of the children." And suddenly, the world changed. Ha ha, fun and games went out the window. It all started to become real. I remember walking around the house looking at my home. And I remember watching all those stupid little movies on TV and reading all the pamphlets about baby-proofing your home and getting prepared for the arrival of a child. We went to Lamaze classes where, I'm telling you, to this day, I'm not quite sure what I learned other than we spent time and money to go to Lamaze classes so the baby could be born. A comedian out there once said, "That baby's coming whether you go to school or not." But I became nervous. I became scared. I suddenly started looking at this house. There were sharp edges on corners I had never noticed before. I walked around looking at the plug sockets like this. How many of these do I need? And so I have to walk around with a pen and a paper, start writing down, all right, there's this many plugs in this room, and I go off to the hardware store and I start buying all this stuff. Mind you, I'm preparing for children that have not been born and are another year away from walking. I had to go out and clean up the truck. We had to get ready for the babies to come, and we were having two of them. In December, we had a baby party. What do they call them things? A baby shower. And we got two of everything. And when I went home from the baby shower, and there was two boxes sitting in the living room with car seats in them, I began to realize I have no clue what's coming. None. I was making preparations for the unknown. Seriously. Isn't this the season of preparations? Isn't this the season where we run around preparing for the noon? Oh, we're having family over. How many's coming over? Maybe not so much now in the days of this virus, but how many families coming over? 10, 12? Who likes to eat what? Who don't eat this? Who won't eat that? Who's allergic to that? Time to go get gifts, isn't it? Who likes this? Who likes that? Who wears this? What size are they now? How old is that little girl? Do I have to get something for Uncle Charlie? Because all he ever does is open it up and go, well, I already got one of these in the shop. How about the lights? The tree. We got our tree this week. We put our tree up and we had to prepare it. Because the minute we put it in the base, it tried to fall over. We had to do prep work for that. But now the tree is up and it's trimmed. This whole season is the season of preparation. And most of the time, we think we know what we're preparing for, but truly, we are preparing for the unknown. I love looking at the Christmas displays, and I love looking at everything around. I love seeing manger scenes. I love going and seeing them things. And the manger scenes that I like the best are the ones where it's just Joseph, Mary, the baby, and the animals. I know the wise men were there. I know the whole story behind that, but this is my personal thing. And how many times when I go to see these setups, these manger scenes, these Christmas decorations, is the baby in the manger, Mary sitting, Joseph standing, and it always seems like he's in the background. In my opinion, we overlook Joseph, the man who was called to make preparations for the greatest unknown mankind would ever see. What he had to do, what he had to overcome, what he had to be prepared for, is truly what on this Sunday ought to be preparing us for the true meaning of Christmas. Now, Thanksgiving has gone past. How do we know it's gone past? Because turkey sales have dropped off for the moment. I reckon this week they'll pick back up again as everybody gets ready to have a turkey for their Christmas supper. But the tradition is all over the place, every television set, all people have the Macy's Day Parade turned on. And I got to thinking about it many years ago, many, many years ago, there was a bunch of invites going out looking for equipment to go up back when they still did it this way and pull floats through the parade. And I thought maybe I would get a chance to take a tractor and go up there and drive something through the parade. Can you imagine me turned loose in the Macy's Day Parade on a tractor pulling a float? I'll let that sink in your head for a moment. But I got to thinking, the Macy's Day Parade, what goes into it? Since November 1924, when employees of Macy's dressed up to celebrate the season and marched from somewhere outside of town down the street to ring in the new year, this parade has captivated audiences. It starts in Moonachie, I guess I'm pronouncing that right, New Jersey, in a 72,000 square foot warehouse. It starts the week after the parade has finished. 30 skilled workers, artists, work year-round to prepare designs and start working on the Macy's Day Parade. This past year, to get the parade brought to life, they spent an incredible 50,000 hours of time preparing everything. And I imagine this year was more difficult than most because, as we well know, there was nobody there this year to line the streets. They keep track of things, and because my wife has pointed out to me that I like statistics and I like to read lists and stuff, this year there was 300 pounds of glitter sprinkled on the various costumes. 300 pounds of glitter. Now, do you go to a glitter store and go, yeah, I'd like 300 pounds worth? 300 pounds of glitter. There were 4,200 different costumes to be worn. The team designs and maintains these looks. And here's the funny part. All of this goes on. All of this preparation for what they think they know, only to find out on that day the wind might blow the wrong way, might be raining, might be snowing. A vehicle's going to break down. One of the carts ain't going to move. Somebody's going to trip. One of the horses are going to act up. All of this goes on to prepare for the unknown. And the funny part is, I don't even watch the parade. Oh, it's on in the house somewhere, and maybe I'll walk by. But I always thought that the entire purpose of the Thanksgiving Day parade was to turn it on, pull the lever back on your favorite recliner, and go to sleep, to have somebody go, "Hey, Santa Claus is coming in, wake up." What? Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. Is the turkey ready yet? And let me tell you, my preparations to preach are just as unique. I've had many Sundays when I came walking through that door out there thinking I had it all figured out. Oh, I've got this sermon. And I go back in my little office back there before we start to put the final touches on it in the notes. And suddenly everything changes. Something's different. What I thought I had known, I didn't know anymore. Sometimes Sunday morning is get everybody up, get them ready to go, and get them out the door by a specific time. And other Sundays, when I think that I'm going to get out the door and get going, suddenly the world changes. And today I sit in front of a video camera with a couple of people behind it, making sure that it's working correctly, to bring a message to people who are living the unknown. But all of this is nothing. All of our preparations, all of our thoughts, all of our unknowns is nothing compared to what's coming 2,000 years ago in a little tiny town, a village out in the desert. Joseph has been told he has to prepare for the unknown. He has to get started on these preparations. Joseph, who has been betrothed to be married to Mary. Joseph, who is considerably older than Mary. Mary, who is young. And we read the scriptures that she's pregnant. The scripture writer starts out, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. He didn't say, this is how we think it came about. This is how it possibly came about. This is how we understand that it came about. This is how it came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, before they were married, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 starts the key. But because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. In Jewish culture, an unwed woman, pregnant, faced probably death, public outcast, at the very least. And Joseph is lost. This is my fiancée. This is the woman whom I've picked out. In the Jewish community, in the Jewish family, this is one of the strongest moments. This is the woman that has been given to me. This is the woman that I have been sent forth to have. This will be my wife. She will put forth my lineage. She will bear my children. She will build my family. And she's pregnant. And we're not married. And it wasn't me. Joseph has to be the entire gamut of emotions. Scared, lost, confused, angry. All of these things together. He doesn't understand God's will. The Bible says, righteous man, meaning he knew God. He kept the commandments. He followed the rules. He lived righteously. And so because of all of this, after I'm sure he went through all five stages of denial, isn't that what it's called? I don't even know what they are. He finally came to the point and realization he has to prepare himself for the unknown that will about to take place and quietly send Mary away. Divorce her quietly. Doesn't want to cause her shame. Has decided whatever has happened is whatever has happened. Does not understand it. He was human. He was doing what he thought was right. He doesn't yet know God's will. And that is the snapshot of humanity. It's when we try to take things forward without laying down the concrete foundation of prayer and introspection and asking for the will that we get changed, that we try to do it our way. I can't do anything my way when it comes to the Lord. I can only imagine what Joseph felt. Here was his moment, eroding away. But yet something happens. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, stop right there. The lineage of Jesus Christ, back to the beginning. Back to the house of David and beyond. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins. Now, guess what? It is really time for preparations unknown. After he comes up from this vision, he's got to step aside from himself. What? What? What do you mean? I don't understand what's going on. But the angel explains to him, this is to fulfill prophecy. And I'm sure when Joseph sat back and began to think about it, his teachings, his understandings, he began to see that the prophecy was coming true. What that must have changed in his mind. No longer is he Joseph the carpenter. No longer is he Joseph betrothed to be married to Mary. No longer is he Joseph. He is now Joseph, the preparer, the father, the make way ready for the birth of Jesus Christ. He is now faced with preparations unknown. Much like in December 2002, when it became real, we were really going to have children. How often are we challenged in that direction? How often are we asked to be prepared? How often are we given straight direction? I'm going to tell you right now, when I walked through the door of this church 14 years ago, I had no clue what was going to happen. You can say that preparations unknown lead you to a little word that we Christians use a lot. And sometimes we don't pay attention to what it means. You know the word I'm talking about? Can anybody tell me? No? The word is faith. It is complete and utter faith. When we make preparations unknown, when we prepare for the unknown, we are saying, I have faith. You remember what faith is, right? Yeah? No? Oh, you need some help? Well, how about this? There was a tightrope walker. His name was Jean-Francois Gravelet Bludon, known as the Great Bludon. I know. I got to stop right here and tell you what goes on. Every time I try to pronounce French or say French or anything, my wife, who took French, who knows French, can speak French, sits there and laughs at me because I'm saying it wrong. I don't care. Bludon. B-L-O-U-D-I-N. That's Bludon, right? Blaudan. There ain't no A in that. Oh, you know what? 20 years, man. John Francois, that word I know because I've seen enough. Gravelet, Bludon, I don't care anymore. He was named as the Great Blue Dine. And he did all these incredible aerial feats. He was a tightrope walker. And when I have gone to circuses, of all the things that takes place, that's the one that gets me. I love watching him walk the tightrope. All over Paris, he would do things for me, tremendously scary heights. And then he had Cecchini acts. He would do it blindfolded. He would go across the rope blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. Think about that for a moment. A wheelbarrow across the tightrope, blindfolded. Talk about being prepared for the unknown. An American promoter read about him in the papers and wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying, "Great Blue Dan." Well, I butchered that one again. "I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, besides all your transportation fees and setup fees, I challenge you to do your act on a tightrope over Niagara Falls." He wrote back and said, "Sir, I have never been to America and seen the falls. I will come to you." In the summer of 1859, Great Blue Don, sometimes known as Tightrope himself, was to start on the Canadian side and come over to the American side. Now, I can not begin to imagine what in the world the preparations are. What's that family that does all the walking now? The Wallowskis? Walenskis! Thank you, producer. The Walenskis! They do all that great tightrope walking. Now he's going to walk across Niagara Falls, where the water rushes, where the wind changes, where at certain times the spray coming off of there makes it impossible to see, where there's fog and drums begin to roll, and he comes out all across the rope, which is suspended over the most treacherous part of the falls, blindfolded. And for an entire amount of time, people watch quietly as he walks across, blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow, trusting only in what he has prepared for, preparations for the unknown as far as it can be. And when he finally steps off on the American side, the crowds go insane. The American promoter runs up to him, and the Great Blue Dan says to him, "Now, do you believe it?" "Well, of course I do. I mean, I just saw you do it. I just saw you walk across this falls, pushing a wheelbarrow blindfolded." "No. No," he said back to the promoter. "Do you believe I can do it?" And the promoter said, "Yes, I believe you can do it." "Good," said the Great Blue Dine to the American promoter. "Get in the wheelbarrow and let's go back across." The word "believe" in Greek means to live by. It makes you ask, how many times do we have the faith, the belief that Christ can do it, but yet we refuse to get in the wheelbarrow? Because we have to make preparations for the unknown. And that scares us. It scares you in anything you have to do where you don't know. And in those moments that it scares you, you forget that you're the child of Christ. That you are saved by the blood of the Lamb. That you are counted by the Lord on high. It's okay. We're human. We're not perfect. Well, I am. And I tell my family that all the time. And all of you out there laughing right now on the other side of this camera over that statement I've made, for shame on you. But we're not. Our best hope is to make preparations for the unknown based on faith alone. And after that vision and the fact that Mary is pregnant, even knowing what unknowns now face them, because he doesn't know yet that Caesar Augustus is going to issue the decree. He doesn't know yet he's going to have to take a journey that we're about to talk about. He doesn't know yet anything else except that she's going to have a child. He went forth with joy. You remember what joy is, right? There's a traditional saying that joy is the byproduct of obedience and faith. We come to the third Sunday of Advent. This is the Sunday of joy. The psalmist writes these words in Psalm 126, the six verses. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Our preparations for the unknown, our faith, our obedience, brings us joy. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says these words in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, in the 16th verse, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's joy. That's preparations unknown. That's allowing faith to rule and guide your life and having the ultimate belief. When was the last time you found it difficult to contain your joy? Even knowing that what was going to happen after the joy settled down some was the unknown. What opportunities do we have to help others when they are facing the unknown, prepare for it? What joy can we bring to those caught in this moment? So today, in the spirit of the third Sunday of Advent, we light the third candle, joy. Billy Sunday, in his sermon, wonderful, quoted this way. There are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. Our preparations unknown can come to us at any time. Would you like some examples? What about when the car breaks down? What about when the current goes out? What about when the refrigerator quits? What about when a child is sick? What about when a loved one is preparing to cross that threshold? Our entire world, brothers and sisters, is living in the unknown. Our entire world, brothers and sisters, because we live in the unknown, is ruled and governed by Jesus Christ, whom he himself stepped into the world of the unknown. Nothing is more true today than being unknown. Nothing is more true today than having preparations for the unknown. Just look around us. Look at what we're doing right now. But I have the answer to be prepared. Would you like to know what the answer is? This is the answer. This truth has never changed. It has never wavered. It has never deviated. It has been the same from beginning to end. This is the truth. And in this truth speaks the word of Jesus Christ. In this book speaks the preparations unknown. In this book gives you the fact that you will face the unknown, but the one thing that you can have in knowing, and thank you, Joseph, for the part you played and went forth, the one thing you can have from all of that is knowing that in all of the unknown, you have Jesus Christ. You have that power. You have that strength. My thank you is to Jesus Christ Himself for coming up through and giving us those preparations. This Sunday, as we move forward, this Sunday, as we look toward the season, this Sunday, as we think about everything that is about to happen, this Sunday, we simply put forth to remember Joseph, the man who, in the face of everything that he felt was lost, began to make preparations for the unknown, for the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the joy and saving salvation that would come from Him. This Sunday, as we look towards joy, let us be in joy for being prepared for the preparations unknown, and be thankful that Jesus Christ has kept us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You in all things that You have given us. We thank You for allowing us to step into the unknown, holding on to Your hand, looking to You for guidance and lifting. We thank You, Father, for watching over and keeping us in those challenges, those moments, those times when we are completely lost. Father, let us be strong and have complete and utter faith that the preparations that we know not of yet will show us the joy of coming closer to You. These things we give over through Jesus Christ, Your Son. In His name we pray. Amen. As we close out, if there is a need, reach out. Find that person that knows. Find that Christian that knows. Find me. But reach out. And now may the grace and saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for being here today, and God bless you.